The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Energy still up. I love it. Again, if you don't know who I am, my name is Pastor John, and I am so glad that you are here with us today as we are in the third week of a series that we're calling Dangerous Prayers. Everybody say that with me. Dangerous prayers. There are very dangerous prayers that you can pray in the Christian life. And if you're not a believer, then you're probably going to say, these are crazy. And they are. And that's the whole point. We're daring God in this new year to begin to affect our lives in ways that you wouldn't expect. And so the first week, we asked God to search me. We said, search me, O God. See if there's anything in me that is not right. And if it's not of me, then remove it from me. And so search me, O God. And the second week, last week, we said, send me, God. And a lot of people are like, Pastor John, I'm not going to pray that prayer. And here's why you didn't want to pray that prayer, because you're scared you're going to end up in East Asia somewhere. And you're like, I don't want to go somewhere. I want to stay here. I'm happy in Jefferson City. I haven't heard many people say that, but I'm happy here in Jefferson City. So I don't know. Right. So, you know, maybe that's it. But here's the thing. Sometimes God is just sending you to your workplace. You know, God has sent me to my workout group. Or maybe he's sending you to the cube next door. There's a lot of heathens in cubicles, right? And so, like, maybe that's where he's sending you. But he's sending you somewhere. And this week is the one that I've really been looking forward to. I've said for since we began this, this is going to be, I think, for many of you, the scariest one yet. I honestly think it'll be the scariest one yet. In fact, I explained last week that to some of you, these messages, one of these messages might become what I like to call anchor messages. Messages that you remember, you'll go, man, I remember that pastor, I remember that church, I remember that time, that place. When I heard that sermon being preached, I remember that place, and my life changed from then on. I have a few of those sermons in my life, too. And I can remember all those, and those messages transformed me. Not the preacher, but the message transformed who I am and what I am. And I think today is going to be really the most difficult one, especially for me to preach, and by far the dangerous out of the three that we've gone through so far. In the prayer that we're going to talk about this week, I just want to warn you up front that many of you aren't going to like it. Many of you will refuse to pray it. Many of you are going to look at me and go, hey, Pastor John, like that was a good sermon. I ain't never saying them words again. And that's okay. Except for I want you to keep going. Some of you guys, I know this isn't a common prayer. It doesn't feel good. There's nothing about this prayer that feels good. This prayer is not consistent with the God will always make your life better version of Christianity. That's not what this prayer is about. This prayer, though, does have the potential to open your heart up to the work of God in such a way that your life will forever be changed. The prayer I'm going to ask you to consider praying this week is very simple. It's two words. It's our soul tattoo. Break me. Break me. Matter of fact, and I can hear from the groans, it's okay. That's the soul tattoo for this week. I've tried to keep it simple. Search me, O God. Send me, God. And this week, break me, God. We're going to turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. If you can find that on page 850 of the hardback Black Pew Bible that's near you. If you don't have a Bible, the one that's in your hand is yours. It's my gift to you. I want you to have it. The only deal I ask you to do with that Bible is actually read the darn thing, because it's amazing. And you know, so I want you to have it. And so once you found Mark chapter 14, I want you to stand in the reading in honor of God's word. Again, Mark chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 3. And the word says, while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he was reclining at table with a woman. A woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment, pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, was the ointment wasted? Why was the ointment wasted like that? For what ointment could have been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? They scolded her, but Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you will always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. And then we're going to slide down to verse 22 over on page 851. It says this. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them. He said, take this, my body. And he took the cup, and when he given thanks to them, and they drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood, the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, I know that you give grace to the humble, so I ask you, God, to do a deep work in my heart and break me. Break me of my pride, of my selfishness. Break me of anything that keeps me from knowing you. As hard as that is to ask, God, whatever it takes, break me. So that your word can flow through me. So people can hear and encounter you, Jesus. Use this broken vessel to preach your word. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, my strength and our Redeemer in whom we trust, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone who agreed with that prayer would say, amen. Amen. You may be seated today. So I want to consider you very, very frankly, I want to consider for you to pray this dangerous prayer. I told you they're going to be dangerous. I told you they're going to be dangerous. So here we go. This is, I think, the most dangerous. And not all of you will. And listen, you don't have to. Like, you don't have to. It's not like you have to pray this. But I want to ask you to consider God, giving God permission to do a deep work in your life. Give God permission to do a deep work in your life. God, break me. Because study today, we're going to look at two different stories in the Bible, which are really cool that they're side by side. I think God probably set it up that way. And so they're side by side in the very same chapter of the same very same book of Mark. In the first story, it's kind of weird. This lady busts in the door, like a whole bunch of religious dudes are sitting around, right? So think of it this way. We'll put it in modern day parlance. There's a bunch of pastors at a house having dinner. You know, those extra holy people. There's one pastor who obviously is like the holiest of all of them. And all of a sudden, a prostitute busts through the door. Because that's what's going on here. She's a prostitute. She bursts through the door. She walks in, and all the pastors immediately are like, you're at the wrong house, right? That's probably what they're going to say. And then they're going to start looking around because she doesn't leave. And they start looking around, and then she starts walking in the house with this jar, and they're going, why are you here? And then she starts walking towards the holiest of all the men in the room, like the pastor of the pastors, starts walking towards Jesus, and they're like, Jesus, there's something you should tell us, right? Like, this is a very awkward situation, right? This prostitute is now walking towards Jesus, and she's taking a very precious thing, and then she busts it open and pours it, not on his feet, not on the ground, not around him. She didn't like dab it on him. You know how you do cologne or perfume? Some of y'all. If you are a teenager, Axe body spray is not a shower. Okay, I just want to throw that in there. But like, it's you know, you dab it on. No, she broke the whole thing in and poured it over his body. Like, do you understand? Like, I mean, again, if you've ever been around teenagers, you know what that smells like. It's overwhelming. Like, this is what's going on in this moment. And so you have to understand, like, nobody wanted to be a first century prostitute. Like, this isn't like today where we go, well, sex work, it's dignified. No, that's not what happened in the first century. No, nobody said, I want to be in the top 10% of prostitutes in Israel when I grow up. That's never happened. That's not what a first century did. You see, if you were a prostitute, it's because life dealt you cards that you couldn't deal with. You felt like you had no other way to play the game or to live life. You were desperate. It was a desperate plea because they were hated, they were despised, they were full of shame, they were treated less than dogs. They were nothing in the world. Who knows what could have led this woman to this? Maybe she was a single mom and had no other way paying the bills, or maybe she had been abused by men and knew nothing else. Whatever it was, she was hated by every woman and used by almost every man she knew. She was full of shame. This is the woman walking in the door. And then one day, somewhere, it doesn't really say where, but one day she encountered a man who treated her differently. One day she ran into a man, maybe for the first time, a male that actually showed her honor. For the first time, maybe the one that showed her respect, that knew her for who she was and not what she could give him. All of a sudden, he saw her as an image bearer of God. Not a sexual object. He loved her appropriately. It was so transforming that this woman wanted to worship him in the most sacrificial way that she could imagine. And her extravagant act of worship confused everybody in the story. Again, go back to verse 3. While they were in Bethany, the house, Simon the leper, he was reclining. Jesus was reclining. A woman came with an alabaster flask, right? Alabaster flask. Ointment of pure nard. Very costly. Now, just real quick. Alabaster, rare rocks. Nard, he says pure nard, really expensive. And then, just to emphasize it, it says very costly. So here's what the author is saying. Yo, this is expensive. Really expensive. Like, no, seriously, like it's really, like, are you paying attention to how expensive? He's trying to get a point here. That this is really expensive, right? And you have to understand what perfume meant to a woman of the night or a prostitute at the time. This perfume was so valuable that we find out later that it's worth a year's worth of wages. So think what you make in a year. And she cracked that open over Jesus' head. That's what it was worth to her. Just imagine what that is. It's that valuable. Why is it so valuable? Because it's incredibly rare. It's difficult to come by. Ordinary women didn't wear perfume. Matter of fact, if you ever want to know why wives walk down the aisle with flowers, is because BO is a thing. And nobody had deodorant back then. Like, we have deodorant now. We're like, yay, that's great. Unless you don't wear it, then some of you might like, But, you know, but like deodorant's a thing, and so we're happy about that. But wives used to walk down the aisle leading with flowers because it was a fragrant smell. That was the point behind it. So to have a perfume, so it wasn't flowers that died, it was something you could put on your skin that just exuded fragrance, was a very rare thing. I know we have it everywhere, but like that's not what they had back then. Ordinary women did not wear perfume because they couldn't afford it. Who wore perfume? Prostitutes. It was a calling card. You see, everybody else had a general stench about them, if you may, so you got nose blind to it. But then all of a sudden you walk by a woman and she smelled different. It was a calling card. It was, oh, she's different. Oh, what's going on over here? Right? That's what it was. It wasn't just, oh, here he is. You see, you invested your money into a perfume. So when you're walking by a guy, he would be like, oh, I see. That's very, very, very expensive. And it's worth all the wages that they had. Essentially, it was a marketing tool. Think business card. Think big sign. She got this incredibly expensive perfume, and the next part of the verse says what she did with the jar. I want you to look down on it. At the end of the verse, it said she broke the flask and poured it over his head. She did what with the flask? I'm going to say it again. She did what with the flask? Say it one more time. She did what with the flask? She broke it. She broke the jar. She broke the jar, and then what does she do with that? She poured it out. She broke it and then she poured it. Say it with me. She broke it and then she poured it. You're kind of going, I don't get it, Pastor. But you have to understand, when you read the story, people freaked out. Don't do that. Stop. Like, you're taking a year's worth of wages. Like, I have a vivid imagination. So I always think of, like, if I was a pastor in the room and I see the prostitute walk towards Jesus, she's got some, you know, some jar, she breaks it open. I would think it'd be like slow motion, like, no, you're like trying to stop Jesus, you know, and I'm like grabbing a towel, trying to scoop up the rest so I could sell it on the street or something, because like, you could feed the poor. That's what they say immediately. You know, they went real holy with it. Like, you can feed the poor. You're going to Chick-fil-A, but like, you can feed the poor. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're really trying to make themselves, you know, seem extra religious, which is fine. But like, it was an act of worship. It was so valuable. It was so valuable. The act of worship was more extravagant than you can even imagine. Essentially, she was saying, I'm giving you my whole life. I'm giving you my whole life. She was saying, my most valuable possession that I have, I give to you. This represents my past. This represents my future. In other words, I'm leaving my past behind and I give it all to you, Jesus. I'm giving my future source of income and my life to you. I'm giving my savings away to you, Jesus. You love me so well that I will break open literally the most valuable possession that I have that represents my livelihood. I will break it and I will pour it. I will pour it out in selfless, extravagant worship of you, Jesus. Broken and poured out. Broken and poured out. It's just the first story. second story right after this. I think, again, I like how God lines these things up. But it's the same. And Jesus is having his last meal. He's with his guys. He's in the upper room. They're chilling. They're having fun. He's with his closest friends. And he knows what's coming. He knows that he's about to die on the cross. He knows what he's about to, what's going on. But then you can pick it up in verse 22. Read it with me. He says, "And they were eating. He took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, 'This is my body.' He took the cup, and when he had given thanks to them, they all drank of it. And he said, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day which I drink anew in the kingdom of God.'" Again, you notice the theme here. He said it was what? He says it was my body, which was, what was that word? Hold on a second. What was that word again? Broken. Jesus says, "Here's my body, broken for you." Then he picks up a cup before he hands it around to his guys. "Drink of this. This is my blood, which is what? Poured out. It's poured out. My body is broken for you. My blood will be poured out. My jar is broken in an act of worship. I will pour it out because I'm giving you everything and everything I have. I'm broken and I'm poured. I'm broken and I'm poured out." Matter of fact, Luke actually reports the same story, but he picked up on something a little bit different. If you want to turn to your Bibles, Luke goes back a couple chapters. You can go to 881 if you don't know your Bible well, but you can go to your right a couple and you'll get there. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And in verse 19, it says this: "He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. What is this? Most of us would agree, as followers of Jesus, that we gathered here and we take the Lord's Supper like we're going to do in a little bit. We take the bread and we take the juice and we eat it together, and we do it in remembrance of Jesus. We celebrate the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus by doing this in remembrance of Jesus. That's what we should do. We should do it in remembrance of him. As a matter of fact, all scholars that I read a whole bunch over the last few weeks, they all agree. Even non-Christian scholars believe that this passage is talking specifically about communion. So, yay. Finally, scholars agree on something. So like, yeah, we got that, right? But then some scholars, and I tend to agree with these guys, go a little bit further. Because when Jesus says, "Do this," those two words kept sticking out to me when I was reading it. Do this. And a lot of people go, "Well, yeah, that means take communion every week, but do this." What does that mean? Well, it does mean to celebrate and remember. And that's what we did, and that's what he did. Perhaps it can also mean that as he was broken and poured out, we should be too. Maybe it's not just the ritual that we come down and get a piece of bread and dip it in the juice, but it's more than that, that Jesus is calling you, Christian, to be broken and poured out. See, that's why this prayer is so dangerous, when you look at God and go, "God, break me." Because now you're like, "God, shape me into what Jesus is. Shape me into my big brother Jesus so I can be like him, broken and poured out for you." When the gospel says do this, what if perhaps Jesus was saying, "Don't just act to remember, but also may you be poured out. May you be broken in the same way." Maybe you need to be broken in that exact same way. Even Paul said this, so you know, I'm not too crazy here. Paul said, "I'm poured out like a drink offering. I give everything I have for God's glory. I'm broken and poured out. I'm broken and poured out." I remember sitting in a coffee shop when I was younger, and I remember I was going through some stuff, mostly self-inflicted, and going through some stuff in my life, and I was talking to a good friend of mine, and I remember looking at him going, "Man, you know, this, and God's let me go through all this." And he goes, "Well, maybe this is self-inflicted." And I look back on now, I know it's self-inflicted. And I look at him, I said, "Well, God will never give you more than you can handle." And he looked me dead in the eye and goes, "God will break you." And I was like, "What? Excuse me. Nah, no thank you." You know, I was kind of shook in the moment. I didn't know what to do. What do you mean God will break me? You know, doesn't the Bible say God will never give you more than I can handle? And he goes, "In him, there's not more than God can handle. He'll break you." Just, you know, I ended the conversation with saying no thank you and leaving, because I didn't want none of that. But the reality is God will break you. See, I remember 5 years ago, it's almost been 5 years when we started Soma, And everything was going great. And then I got the news that my mom was sick. She had cancer. And, man, life just kind of blew up. And if you've ever started anything from scratch, and, you know, especially a church, you're raising money and driving all over Kingdom Come and talking to people and writing newsletters, and it's all a blur. And so, you know, if you know me, I'm like, I'm going to keep up a good face. I'm going to keep fighting, fight the good fight. And I thought I was the good pastor by just kind of going, and I was doing good. I remember that we used to keep seats right out here in this little foyer area. And I remember one day my mom and dad snuck in. It was the first time that my mom had seen me preach in years. And you know, the cool part about her sitting out there, I can picture it right now, is she went to Lincoln University. She used to come up here as a student. This is the student center for the Baptist students. She used to come up here as a student. And so it was kind of cool. Like afterwards, we went out to eat, and she was just like, my baby's got a church where I used to study. Like, you know, she used to like brag about stuff like that. And it was just kind of funny. She just sit right out there. And I remember not too long after that, everything got real, real bad. She went downhill real quick. And I didn't know what to do. I tried to hold on and tried to be strong. And I tried to do my best, but it just got worse and worse and worse. And no matter how hard she fought, she was losing. Drove up, put so many miles in my van, it wasn't even funny. Driving back and forth between Kansas City and my Camry. And I remember she had had a surgery. And right after that surgery, I came back. I drove back on a Saturday night to preach on Sunday morning. And that Sunday, for whatever reason, we started singing, Lord, I Need You. And that's all I could think, because I knew in my mind, I thought in my mind, like something could happen. But outside of a miracle, I knew nothing was going to happen. She was going to die. And we started singing, Lord, I Need You. And I needed that song. And I didn't have enough energy to keep up a good face anymore, to be the strong pastor guy. I just broke. And you know that cry? You know the cry was like ugly? Where, you know, there's you don't care who's around. You snuck it up snot and all that. Yeah, that was me right here. I didn't care. I was gone. I just needed to cry because my mother was gone and she was going, and I didn't know what to do. And all I could say was, Lord, I need you. I didn't have words to say. I couldn't barely get those out. I just, God, I need you. I was just broken at that moment. You see, the beautiful part of that moment is I remember looking up and seeing people around me with their hands on me and praying over me and knowing the brokenness in their life. And knowing the struggle they're going through in their life. And we were broken together. And they were broken for me. And I was broken for them. And I'm just on the ground weeping and crying, going, God, I need you. You see, we try to impress people with our strength. We try our hardest to impress people with our strength. But we connect to our weaknesses. We connect to our weaknesses. I want you to hear me. We try our hardest to keep up pretenses and look real good for the world and impress people with how strong we really are. But we connect the most deeply through our brokenness when God breaks you. Sometimes when nobody saw good things, and you know what I'm talking about. When you see that person, they're perfect. You know, in that workplace, you're like, oh, she always got it together. I hate her. Ugh. You wouldn't say that out loud, but it's in your mind. You know what I'm talking about? Or you see that person, you're like, they always get A's. Ugh. You know? And then finally, something goes wrong in their life, and all of a sudden you connect with them because you're like, oh, okay, you're not perfect. Oh, your shoes don't always go on the same way. You put your pants on just like I do. Good. We cool. But for a while, you just hate that person for no obvious reason, right? It's the same thing. We connect to our brokenness. When you find out people have problems, we're done impressing people with our strength. We're done. I don't have anything else to give you. This is why I don't try to put up pretenses with y'all. Like, I'm who I am. I've never been closer with my friends because you impress them with your strength. It's because you expose your brokenness. Those are your real friends. I got a good friend of mine back in Kansas City. He can ask me one question. Somehow I'm snotting and crying. I don't know why. Like, I'm a grown man. I don't know what I did. Jesus. I don't. Bro, you ask me how I'm doing. But he knows me. He knows the brokenness inside me. He knows everything about me. So he can ask those kind of questions. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the good friends. Those are the people that walk through life with you. When you can bare your soul, when you can have a half hour of verbal vomit and walk around and go, oh, I feel better about myself. Because you've now talked to your friend in that way. If you don't have that kind of friend, you need to get one. 2020 is the year. This is what we're talking about. So back when BJ, my best friend said, God will break you. And I was like, man, nah. I had the same response as many of you guys had when I said, the prayer today is break me. You're like, nah. Same response. The same response. But I couldn't have known then what I know now. Everything that God showed me outside of that broken moment changed my life. Just to make you feel better, being broken is not only just one moment, but it's an ongoing breaking. I want you to hear that. It's an ongoing breaking. If God breaks you of your own sinfulness and continues to teach you to depend on Him, that's what He does. When He breaks you, I had no idea at the time, but I'll say it to believe it, and I'll stand by it right now, that if in my heart today, that life's greatest blessings often lead to God's greatest blessings in your life. Life's greatest breakings often lead to God's greatest blessings. I just want you to hear that, because when BJ told me that God will break me, I didn't realize the significance of it. What I'm going to say now is really more my theory. But when I look at the Bible, I think it proves to be true. I look at Peter. Peter, if you don't know the Bible, he was born with foot and mouth disease. His foot always went in his mouth. He did stupid things constantly. And I like Peter. Like, I think we are going to get along. We're in heaven. I really do. Like, Peter's like, hey, is that you walking the water? I want to walk too. And they start drowning. Like, I get Pete. Pete and I get him. He does all kinds of dumb stuff. So same upper room. He's chilling with Jesus. Jesus is like, when are you guys going to deny me? And Peter, my guy, stands up. I'll never do it. Jesus is like, you're going to be the first one. Which, by the way, never good. Never good if Jesus points you out and says you're about to be the first one. Jesus even said, and I love this, Jesus says, I prayed for you. Whoa. Time out. You prayed for me? You mean, like, there's one thing when we say to each other, like, hey, I prayed for you. This is God Himself said, bro, I prayed for you. What is God praying about? He's praying to Himself about you? Bro, you in trouble. Right? You are in trouble. But this is what happened. He said, I prayed for you and you're about to deny me. Jesus, and Peter's like, no, not me. Not once. Not twice. Three times did he deny Jesus. In the Greek, he cusses. My brother cusses. He's like, you and your mama. I don't know that dude. Like, he gets all up in it. He wants to make sure that you know he doesn't know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, he really gets into it. And the third time, the cock crows and Jesus looks at him. And Peter looks at Jesus and he broke. He broke. Can you imagine that moment? You're his number one guy. You've been with him since day one. And this is how you turn on him? In his weakest hour, this is when you go? But Peter also, after he's forgiven with Jesus, has a fish sandwich over breakfast. This is a beautiful passage. He gets to preach the greatest sermon ever preached. Not the safest sermon. My man stands up and goes, remember that Jesus y'all murdered? Thanks, Peter. Thanks. Like, way to usher him in. Maybe, you know, throw him a joke or something, bro. Like, he's like, remember that dude you murdered? Yeah, he's your savior. Repent. I'm like, all right, cool. 3,000 people come to Jesus. 3,000 people come to Jesus. He gets to be a part of one of the greatest harvests ever in Christian history. Those whom God uses the greatest are also those who have been broke the deepest. They've been broken the deepest. God never wastes a hurt. Maybe that's all you need to hear today. God never wastes a hurt. Ever wastes a hurt. There's somebody right now that you don't want to be broken. You never want to pray this. You're trying not to make eye contact with me, and that's okay. You don't have to pray it. Matter of fact, you don't have to pray to be a follower of Jesus. You really don't. There's some of you that could probably get up here and preach the sermon better than me because you've been through some stuff in your life. You've seen it. You've lived it. There's some of you that are in the middle of being broken right now, and you're just like, yeah, stop. And that's okay too. Maybe you're in the midst of it. There's a group of you right now that at some point soon, I promise you, you're going to be in the midst of it. It's coming. And you're like, I don't want it. It's coming. It's called life. As long as you're alive, it's going to happen. But what I would always say to you, and I'm going to continue to say to you, is go ahead and fall on the rock and just break. Do it now. I promise you it's a lot easier to do it now than it is to do it down the road. Just break. Say, I'm broke. I need God, and I need His people, and I need more of these people. I need you. I need your spirit. I don't care what anybody thinks. I got nothing to prove to y'all. I have an audience of one. That's all I live for. And when you get that moment of will, life guarantees it, by the way. Life guarantees it. You will either run towards God or you will run away from God. Those are only two choices you have. Which one will you make? Like, for real, which one will you make? My greatest advice to you right now is to break yourself wide open and fully depend on God now. Let Him do the healing work for Him for you, because you cannot do that healing work. You cannot be healed by yourself. He needs it. Understand this. This is an advanced Christianity. Some of y'all are like, oh, Pastor, you know, when I get through certain things. No, this is Christianity 101. Depend on Him. He saved you. He died for you. He brought you. That's all. It's Him. Surrender completely to Him. Surrender to Him. The gospel is an invitation to come and die. I know, it's not what you come to church for. Usually you're like, oh, I want to come and die. That is the gospel's invitation. Die to yourself. Live for Jesus so that Jesus can live through you. So the world can see His light. So the world can be affected by His Spirit. So that the world can be changed by Him. You see, the sinful woman broke open the jar. She poured it all out, symbolizing, I give my whole life, broken and poured. I am broken woman, and I'm poured out for you. Jesus' body was broken for you. His blood was poured for you, and so that your sins might be forgiven. Jesus said, do this. Remembrance of me. I can't prove it, but I do believe it, that it doesn't just refer to the ritual, but it refers to letting ourselves being broken and poured out so that we can serve Jesus with all of our hearts, our souls, and our mind. Some of you guys haven't been here before, so let me tell you. A mission of our church, the first mission we had was really, really cool, but kind of nerdy, to be honest. If you know me, it's nerdy. But the mission of our church is this. The mission of our church is to be a multi-ethnic, multi-generational, mission-shaped community based on lifting up the next generation. And if you look around, that's what we are. Matter of fact, I believe in my heart that it fully represents the heart of God. The reality that many of us aren't fully there. We're not fully devoted followers of Christ. Matter of fact, some of us are just partial devoters of Christ. But we live a Christian life when it's convenient for us. If you find yourself, you know, at that point where you're kind of partially committed, you're like, I like Jesus when it's convenient for me. Can I encourage you to pray a very dangerous prayer? I'm going to put it up on the screen so you can read it with me. It's this. God, break me so I could fully be dependent on you. Whatever it takes, God, I want you to intimately... I want to know you intimately and serve you faithfully because I trust you. God, do whatever it takes. Break me that I can know you. That's where it gets dangerous. Whatever it takes. Matter of fact, let me just say it this way. If you've been around for a while, you know I'm not afraid to push you. I'm constantly going to push you. But I want to back off just a little bit today. I'm going to give you some breathing room. I want you to breathe, and I want you to let the crazy in. Because this is kind of crazy. Like, break me, God? But maybe today you could choose to trust God enough to pray an incredibly dangerous prayer like, break me. Whatever it takes, break me. If that's you, more power to you. Go full in. Jump in. Let Him have it. I promise you will never regret it. Don't go 90%. Act like a kid in a pool at the beginning of summer. Just dive. Do the whole cannonball. Get in there. Listen, I always want the higher percentage. I want you to go as far as you can, as close as you can to 100%, if not 100%. But listen, maybe you're like, Pastor, okay, I'm cool. I've been here a little bit, but I can't do all that. I'm new to this Christian thing. I can't do all that. Cool. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to go back to the first sermon I preached in this series called Search Me. If you are here for that, or if you don't know what it is, I ask God to search your heart for something that is not of Him. Maybe right now, just think for a second. What is the thing that is not of Him that it's in your life? Because if you can't go all in, maybe you can just go, God, break me of that. Search me. Search my heart, God. And what is that thing that is off? Break me of that. Break me of God of whatever it is. Break me of my pride. Break me of my anger. Break me of my self-sufficiency. Break me of my lust. Break me of my impatience. Whatever it is, let me start there. Because when God breaks you of this, what you're going to see on the other side of brokenness is the blessings of God. You're going to see the blessings of God. There's one pitcher. I only carry one pitcher in my back pocket. The other pitchers I have are on my phone. But I have one picture in my back pocket. It's the guy who baptized me. His name is Dave. I told you guys about Dave before. Dave was a pastor, and I knew him for years, and he hired me on the staff. Actually, took me to my first seminary class. And Dave is a great guy, but I remember he preached an Easter sermon. This is like 10 years ago now, 11 years ago. He preached an Easter sermon, and the week before that Easter sermon, Heather walked up to him. If you know my wife, you know this is her. He walked up to her and said, "You're looking disheveled." And he was. He was looking rough. And we found out 2 weeks later that he had been having a 5-year affair on his wife. He was pastor of our church, mentor to me. And I remember just like, what? And I watched a man that I love be broke. I watched his wife walk away. I watched his family, his boys walk away. And he would say, and I would say, he deserved everything he got. And it was horrid what happened. And, you know, if it was a good Christian story, I would end it off with, he's a pastor today, and he's not. But he did meet another young woman and called Heather and I years later and asked us to come to the wedding and be the photographers, and we were. And I loved it. And I remember the pastor standing at the stage right in front of Dave and his bride, and he leaned in front of him and he said, "This is your second chance, and God's watching." Dave had spent the last few years repenting and changing his life, and then it's been fun because over the last few years of Dave and his new bride being together and them growing, I've seen her get baptized because she wasn't even a Christian when they got married. And I see her get baptized, and they have a little baby girl that is a spitting image of him because he has them strong genes. And so, like, this beautiful little girl that looks just like him, and she's growing and learning about Jesus, and he's applying the things he learned in seminary to her and actually growing up. And I'm seeing him reconcile with his children. And I'm seeing him begin to go in repentance, and I'm seeing him being broken. And I have pastor friends in the church that he goes to, and they're reporting to me about Dave leading, but not leading Bible studies, just talking to other men and walking them through their infidelity and walking them through their addictions and their lust and watching other men be broken because God is using his brokenness to bless others. And I'm looking at him and I'm going, that's what I'm talking about, the blessings on the other side, but they probably won't look like you think they're going to look. But they will be a blessing. And if you talk to Dave today, he would tell you, I wouldn't change it for the world. Though it hurt because of my sin, it was worth every part of it. Pick your own version. Listen, maybe you need to tell a spouse or a friend or somebody what's going on right now. But pray a prayer. Trust God. Say, whatever it is, start with me, God. Start with me. Say, break me. Break me, God. I don't know what it is, but I want to encourage you to pray your version. Pray your version of this. Matter of fact, here's what I'm going to ask you right now. I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you know right here and now that you need to be broken by God in any way, shape, or form, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray over you. Father, thank you for the people who really want to trust you. I know this is a difficult one, but I pray that these prayers are answered by you in a real way. I pray, God, that we see specific answer to these specific things that we ask. Break us of this, whatever it is, God. And ultimately, God, I hope that we'll recognize that we, without Christ, are already broken. Whenever life starts coming apart, whenever we experience difficulties, God, I pray that we would have the faith and the courage just to break wide open and say, I totally and completely need you and your people like we need each other. God, break us to the point that we know that we have nothing else to hold on to but you. And then we'll recognize that all along you were really all we needed in the first place to do work that you've called us to do. You're working in our church. And for those who have the courage to pray this dangerous prayer, I pray that on the other side of the breaking, they will see incredible blessings. Because that's the kind of God that you are. We trust you, God. We trust you, God. And we thank you, God. In your name we pray. And all God's people say. This is what's so amazing to me. Listen, this is what's so amazing to me. Jesus is with his best friends. He lifts up some bread. He said, "This is my body. It's broken for you." And only a matter of hours later, he's dead. on a cross hanging there suffocating, his body broken. He held a cup. He said, this cup, this wine. He said, this is my blood spilled out for you, poured out for you, for the forgiveness of your sin. Jesus shed his blood for you so that you could live. And here's something amazing that I hope you recognize. Without Christ, you're broken already. I'm broken already. We are a bunch of ragamuffins. Just call it what it is. My mom used to call me ragamuffin, so there you go. Welcome. You're ragamuffin, just like me. We all a bunch of ragamuffins. But look at your life and tell me you're not. Look at the sinful decisions you made yesterday. Let's not even count today. Yesterday. And tell me you're not. Because we're broken people. But listen, the knowledge that you can't heal yourself is a blessing, because God will heal you if you're willing to be broken before him. That's why God is called the great physician in Scripture. That's why the Son of God is born without sin. That's why he lived his life in a perfect way. That's why he died on a cross for you. That's why his body was broken. His blood was shed. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And now he ascends to the right hand of the Father to wait on you and I. That is the good news. Because whoever, the Bible says whoever, not just whoever calls on his name will be saved. You will be saved today. You will be forgiven, transformed. Honestly, why many of you guys are here is because you recognize that you're broken. You need this healing. You need this forgiveness. Today, you call on him. And when you do, he will forgive every sin that you've ever committed, past, present, and future. And he will be brand new. That's why you're here today, to hear that word right there. That's why you need to hear and say, yes, his grace, I need his forgiveness, and I want you to surrender your life to him today. That's maybe why you're here today. Maybe not just for the brokenness, but to realize that God wants you. There's not an A team and a B team. He wants you, and he's calling you right now. This is not a mistake. So as we end today, not just pray over the brokenness, I just want to pray for you. Bow your heads again, please. Heavenly Father, I surrender everything. Everything broken and poured out. Take all of my life and forgive my sins. As a matter of fact, if you're not a believer, you can pray this with me. I surrender to you, Jesus. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Fill me with your Spirit so I can follow you always. My life is not my own. Today I give it to you. Thank you, God, for new life. You now have mine. In Jesus' name, I pray and I worship God and I thank you, God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.